Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Our Friday mornings together, I always look forward to and always enjoy.
Bob, we have some listener questions. Let's get right into them. The first comes from Frank. Hi, Bob. You talk about the Fed's big role in creating and exacerbating booms and recessions, but there were also a lot of bad recessions before the Fed. For example, the 1870-1890 recession you've often talked about. Since there was no Fed then, what caused or prolonged that recession? Was it the same bankers in a different guise? Recessions have happened in history. So what's the relationship between the banking industry and creating these problems in comparison to the Fed? We're always being coerced to bail out bankers, not the Fed. Thanks, your friend, Frank.
Yeah, Frank, you got a good review on that one. The great financial bubble completed in 1873. And that summer when the... the usual stresses became into the credit markets and seasoned players would realize that, hey, this is now dangerous. But the newspaper in New York had an editorial and it pointed out that nothing could go wrong because the United States did not have a central bank and that had the treasury system. They sometimes call it the national banking system. But anyways, it was the Treasury. And the reasoning was that the Treasury could issue any amount of credit by buying bonds out of the market. Where have we heard that story before? because the U.S. did not have a central bank, and particularly did not have a central bank that was constrained by gold, the Treasury was there and nothing could go wrong because they could issue that. And actually, crashed in the fall, and the recession started virtually immediately and was nasty for long. Now, at that time, England was the... senior currency, the financial center, and also headed up the premier economy. But in England, that's when the editor, who was highly esteemed, Bagshot, was editor of the Economist magazine, and he published a book that year called Lombard Street, and in it he argued that nothing could go wrong because the Bank of England had the ability to issue credit at the right time and save things. But that was then the contraction in England was worse than in the U.S. So that about early 1800s, economists in England began to call it the Great Depression. And it lasted until 1895, about 20 years. So, our conclusion on this is that the Federal Reserve made the boom greater than otherwise and then is unable to prevent the contraction. And this week has been immense damage done to the energy stock or energy prices, natural gas, gasoline and crude oil have been hit. So, it's a fascinating world out there, and thanks for the question.
Our question number two comes from Nathan. Can you ask Bob what he thinks the catalyst for silver to move higher is, and if he thinks oil will have to roll over before gold, not gold miners, to move higher?
Okay, Nathan, thanks. In a bull market for precious metals, typically silver outperforms gold. So the gold-silver ratio comes down. And then you've got the opposite happens in a recession or a contraction or whatever, is that then silver underperforms gold. So this is what we've had in the last year. The gold-silver ratio is, I think it was around 65 a year and a half ago. And now it's up to 80 kind of thing. And the silver over the next little while could take some horrendous plunges relative to gold. It's the way it works in when you're into a credit problem. So what we're looking here now for the gold-silver ratio, if it breaks out, it would suggest there's another hit coming into the financial markets. The hit so far this year has been dreadful, but there could be more. And then now oil, this question is a couple of days old, and on Tuesday we published a piece, The Bear Gets Everything, including energy prices, and that was just a day off the highs for energy price. So what has happened since is the crash or the hit, I can't say crash, but the hit to natural gas, gasoline, and crude oil has been quite noticeable. So I think the big play in the inflation story coming back is all in the market. And the industrial commodities, which also includes energy prices, can head down. There's certain things going on in the grains where they kind of been marching to their own tune for the last few years. So, but industrial commodities in turning down is signaling that the post-bubble contraction is underway, and it ain't going to be pretty, and it can last for quite some time.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Here are some of the headlines that caught Bob's attention today. Oil supply fears mount as OPEC underperforms.
Yeah, that was a top of the market type of headline. I don't know if I got the date on that thing or not. But anyways, it was earlier in the week. And as we just talked, Jim, on Tuesday we published that energy prices were very overdone on the upside and were vulnerable. And the price decline has been noticeable. And it's also going to add very important here. It's signaling that the recession could be underway.
Another headline. Biden threatens oil companies with his emergency powers if they don't boost supply.
Now that is just plain stupid. It is astounding. Because during his rare appearances during the election campaign, I remember one video showing he goes over to a younger person and says, "We will shut down the fossil fuel business," And the first thing he did in office was to shut down the XL pipeline and then everything else. So wherever possible, the Biden administration has constrained oil and gas exploration, discovery, production, distribution as severely as they could. Now, even just last month, when pressured, interviewers were talking with them, said this rising gasoline prices is ridiculous, and Biden said, no, this is part of the plan to get off of fossil fuels and into the new wonderful green world. And but actually a few months ago he was petitioning dictatorships such as Venezuela, Iraq, and whatnot to increase their oil production in order to ease the prices of gasoline in the States, which is now becoming politically very painful for the Democrats. But they will not budge on the production of energy in the U.S. or the pipeline. And these are they're political crazies. It's more important for them to shut down fossil fuels and of course behind it is this unproven notion that increasing CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere causes global warming, which is absolute nonsense. So it brings this thing down as just an exercise in radical control of society. That was, of course, used during the COVID hysteria. It was half the deal was to control people, and they've been very reluctant to give up on that. And again, this is controlling the fossil fuel industry is controlling people. They ain't going to give up on that. But the tide of political opinion is turning against the Democrats. Very seriously, there was a Tuesday there were local some primaries and elections and whatnot, and there was a region in Texas that had been voted Democrat for 150 years, and the Republican woman won huge, not just scraping through, but I can't remember the number, but it was huge. So that's a major shock to the Democrats, and but there's no way that they can turn to appear reasonable by the time the election is scheduled for November. So that's going to be interesting. And well, that just reminded me, Jim, of another line I wrote down this week. Oh yeah, here it is. It's if you could reason with Democrats, there would be no Democrats. We could apply that in Canada to liberals, too. So I traced it back, and it seems to go back to Clint Eastwood in 2019. So I'll do a little more research on that to get the provenance of it, and because it's a fabulous line. It's one of those ones I wished I had thought myself.
Another headline that caught your eye, luxury homes sink 18% in price in the biggest drop since the pandemic started.
Yeah. Of course, you've had a hot real estate usually goes with the final stages of a great financial bubble. And then everything starts to deflate. And I just threw that headline in because, even the high-end stuff, it's getting whacked, and it's another sign. Remember that in the big bull market that peaked in 2007, the feature of that one was the huge runaway market in residential property from low to high values. And then that became quite a problem. So, yeah, in a great financial mania, the financial items, stocks and bonds, become absolutely incredible. And you've had, like, for example, on the bond side in Germany, and we often mention this, the 10-year note got down to almost minus 1% nominally. Negative interest rates nominally have never happened in history. So it shows that speculation was without precedent. And then the other one in the stock market side was in the Bitcoin crypto, where you had huge market caps do price gains that have never been seen before. And maybe the hot stock in the South Sea bubble in 1720, it did it 10 times. And then went back to 100 pounds where it started. It got up to a little over 1,000 pounds. But with the cryptos and the Bitcoin, you had percent gains, multiples of that. Now, in crazy markets, you can have a junior mining stock go from pennies to $25 or $30. And, you know, that's an extraordinary percentage gains, but it's just a mining stock, just a small cap deal. Whereas the game with the Bitcoins has been unprecedented. And one thing that we've mentioned before, Jim, about the Bitcoin crypto thing is that it costs huge money in electrical bills to create those things, and it also costs huge money to keep them in, keep them going. And whereas if you do a Vancouver stock, I don't know what the price is now, but years ago you could create stock for 15 cents a share, and then there was trust company fees, and you had to keep an office, have a couple employees, but the cost could be controlled, whereas in these Bitcoin things, the cost is extraordinary. So they've broken down, and I think many of them will decline to utter failure, you know, bankrupt, finished, toast, gone, whatever you want to call it. So the next few years in the Bitcoin and crypto side is going to be fascinating.
Another thing that kind of caught your ear this time, a quote from our good buddy Vladimir Lenin.
Oh yeah,
way to crush. Okay, and the Lenin quote: "Way to crush bourgeoisie." We would translate that to the middle class. Is grind them between millstones of taxation and inflation. Well, are we grinding the bourgeoisie to dust?
Jim, your accent is so good. Yeah, this is what authoritarians do. You don't have to be a Bolshevik to come up with Bolshevik ideas. And this is what governments are doing now. The currency depreciation is deliberate, resulting in predetermined inflation, because that's how they transfer wealth from the productive sector to the government sector. And then, of course, then they tax. They tax rising prices, and they tax incomes, and, it is so programmable that, but fortunately, Jim, or unfortunately, it has now become so extreme that it's setting up popular uprisings against the intrusion, authoritarian intrusions. And even back in the early 1600s, that was the end of, like ours, a 100-year experiment in authoritarian government. And the, prosperous merchants in London were independent of means and also independent of thought. And they looked at what the government was doing, which was they had massive make-work programs and all this sort of stuff. And they looked at it and said, tyrannical duncery. And that says it all. And this is what we've got. tyrannical dentistry today in virtually every government in the world. But fortunately, the popular reaction against it can reform the excesses, and I'm looking forward to seeing it happen.
Bob, something I'm curious about. All these cryptocurrency exchanges are now forbidding their customers from withdrawing money from their accounts for things like Bitcoin. Yep. Does this remind you of any other particular crash in history?
Yeah, there have been times when brokers failed and people who might have had cash in their accounts there lost. But and then also there were many bank failures too, where people had deposits, not just cash and share certificates, but they had deposits and they failed as well. But nowadays, I'm not a supporter of deposit insurance. I'm a supporter of sound banking, and underneath it all, in Canada, we do have the big banks that are about as sound as you can get. So I think the bank stock prices can go down, but I don't see any chance of a default. But that was always a problem in history, where you thought you had your money safe and it was gone. So, but one is always, you know, for the last 8, 9, 10 months, we've been talking to that individuals should build as much liquidity as they could, because eventually liquidity will become very important, which is where we are now, and it's going to become even more important. So there's no point owning stocks or bonds, and one wants to be as liquid as possible, which also means having as little debt as possible. So that practical is best, and this is now going to be a battle of survival. It really will be.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, he'll gladly answer them for you at info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.